Into the Blender, episode 28. Listening to End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
Greetings and welcome to End of the Blender. Episode 20-something.
28. We just said it.
This is Chooch.
And this is Viv. Hi, everybody.
Hi. You may hear Puppy.
Yes. You may hear Puppy, even though we're not going to talk about Puppy yet. You may hear a whimpering puppy in the background, which, if you follow us on Twitter, you know that means that we just got a puppy.
Yes.
And if you don't follow us on Twitter, you'll just have to wait and find out in a later episode. We have Puppy.
Yeah, we've got a little bit to catch up on.
Yeah, and we're trying to do it in time order.
Mm-hmm. Seems like, you know, it's the order things happened in. And seems like the way to relay them.
Mm-hmm. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And awesome. And the best puppy ever. And that will just have to hold you up. So we actually never talked about Inauguration Day.
Really?
Yeah. Which was, we had our nephew, RD, spent the night. And we actually were able to get the boys up on Inauguration Day and park them in front of the TV. And M was refusing to come join us. And I finally, he was upstairs playing WoW, and I sent him a text message saying, this really is a historic thing. You really should come down and watch. So he lumbered downstairs and watched for a little while. And yeah. I felt bad because everything said it started at, you know, whatever, 10 o'clock or whatever.
Oh, right.
So I made everybody get out of bed and come gather in front of the TV.
Yeah. And then it took like 10 hours before he actually got up and took the oath.
And then Cammy Cat on Twitter, I said something about that. And she said, oh, it's the same time every year. And I'm like, but nobody told me. And I actually asked and I looked and everything said it started at 10. So we watched Cars for like 2 hours driving around DC. Yeah.
But, and it was interesting too, on the news, they were talking about, they were getting really close to noon.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, well, he is technically president starting at noon.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what the law says.
Mm-hmm.
But then it said, well, okay, but what does the law say if he doesn't take the oath by noon?
Mm.
And apparently he's president without an oath.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for that 20 minutes in between, he could have not upheld the Constitution.
He could have done whatever he wanted. He could have gone Clinton.
Because he was legally president.
He could have defiled the Oval Office and all kinds of stuff. Wow. Yeah. It was cool, though. I mean, when it finally was occurring, when the actual speech was underway, it was really cool. And the kids, I thought it was really cool that LT and RD, they were actually interested and focused on it and watching it. And M, literally, luckily, because he wouldn't have hung in there for 2+ hours, he just came down at the last minute as he was being sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can say that they, you know, they were there. They saw it. Well, not there, but they witnessed it. And all the glory of sitting around waiting for 2 hours watching Cars drive around DC. I thought it was beautiful, and I thought that it was ironic that Kaylee, shh, mommy's talking, don't interrupt. I thought it was funny because John Roberts was up for the Supreme Court, and Obama voted against him, and then John Roberts somehow, in a crazy and unpredicted fashion, mixed up the words and made Obama look like a fool in the swearing-in, and they actually redid the swearing-in.
Oh, really?
They actually, with a photographer and John Roberts and Obama and a couple of other people, they did it just without press, without anybody, just to remove any of this, the shenanigans. Well, he's not really president.
Right.
Because you know how people, you know how they are. He's not president because he jumbled the words and then went
like
in the
right order.
In
like 3 years, something's going to come up.
And yeah.
I'll say, big like conspiracy.
Right. Like he's not an American citizen and all this other garbage that's been thrown out. And it was actually, he had memorized the speech. Obama had memorized the speech and John Roberts did mix up the order of some of the words. And that's what threw Obama and why he hesitated. Uh-huh. So that's why they redid it, because they didn't want those shenanigans going on. So it was kind of like, and we're all going to watch this historic moment as he mumbles and jumbles the words up. And it was like, oh, no, we did not elect another Bush. We worked very carefully to not elect another Bush.
Yeah.
But we all know that he gives great speeches. So regardless of your politics, it was an amazing event. And I'm glad that we were able to get the kids to watch it live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as we were yelling up to him upstairs before you texted him.
Yeah.
When we were kind of taunting him.
Yeah.
Come on, you want to see it? And I would say, you know how us old people will say, or on the news, they'll say, do you remember where you were when the space shuttle blew up or whatever? This is one of those moments.
And you'll be in the Barrens. You'll be doing molten core. Really? This is what you want? So he did come down and stayed exactly as long as he needed to, and laughed at Obama mumbling the comment, the oath, and then went back upstairs.
Yeah.
He's a teen. What do you expect? And then that weekend was the weekend that we celebrated LT's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Biscuit and Cap came and visit.
That's right.
And they had their dogs, and we finally got to meet Jane.
Yes.
Well, no, Jane had her first visit here. We met Jane when we went there for Thanksgiving, but she came here and was able to slobber all over us, too.
St. Bernard pup.
Yes, pup, my
with
ass.
With a head bigger than mine.
Sugar, she's huge. Pup. Yeah, she's a big girl. She's not full grown, I don't think, but she's pretty close. And she's not going to be as big as like a full breed, maxed out sized. Jane's a he. Why do I keep saying she? Because the name. Wait, no, Jane's a she.
Right. That's the odd thing.
I get so confused because they named her after Jane from Serenity, who's a guy. But
it is a girl.
The dog's a girl. And so I'm just all kinds of gender confused in her name, you know?
Yeah.
For her, I'm gender confused. So this was like the middle of January. And so they came in on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. And we got the dog settled in. We talked for a little while and they headed to bed because they were exhausted coming.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even think. Oh, and they forgot. We have a traveling bar that we take back and forth because we don't really drink hardly at all. But because Biscuit was a bartender, we tend to have this stash of mixins, I guess, for stuff. And so we just take it back and forth. And they had forgotten it at their house. So we didn't get our traditional whatever teeny when Biscuit comes pulling in. It was a beer and wine kind of a weekend instead. And then
we did make do with some of the things we had on hand.
It's true. And we did go actually, we were sent, Kath and I were sent to the liquor store the next day.
There was some additions to the collection.
We did add to it. Yes. There's more stuff to carry back and forth now. But the next day we went, because LT wanted to have a birthday party with all the folks that we've met from Twitter, all of our podcasting friends and stuff like that. So we sent out an invitation and had some people that were able to come, and we went to Red Robin in Woodbridge because that was more central for everybody.
Yeah.
And because it's safe food. It's burgers, it's salads, it's chicken, it's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, something for everybody.
We had such a great time. He had a bigger turnout for his birthday party than I had for mine. Of course, we learned from mine. Mine was all the way down where we live, which is it's really beyond travel area for most people, and we did it early in the day, so it was so fun, though. Everybody showed up, and we just talked like we always do. Oh, and M came and brought his girlfriend, and she was just like, "Ooh, so these are your friends," because she's met a couple of them, but she's never seen us in mass in a restaurant, and it was Paulette and it was Jet and it was T and his wife and daughter. Uh-huh. It was Brandon and Allie and their daughter. It was Scott and May and Heather and Mark. Biscuit and Kath, of course. And I know that I'm forgetting somebody because it was just such a huge, it was a really, our usual loud, big group. Mm-hmm. We had the best server ever.
Yeah.
The one waitress wrangled all of us and kept us all in line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. And then after that, we headed back to our place and we got the nephews. GK and RD spent that night while they were here. So we had, I mean, the boys had a blast because they had their cousins here.
Oh, yeah.
And Kath and I were sent out to the liquor store to get some fixings, like we talked about. And we just chilled out and watched TV. I can't even remember. Oh, were we playing video games that night?
Yeah, I think we...
The boys were upstairs. We were watching TV or playing video games or something.
Yeah, I think we were rocking out.
Yeah.
Well, I know that while you guys were gone, mm-hmm. that Biscuit and LT and I were jamming Rock Band. And...
Right. Oh, and we had a nacho party.
Oh, yeah.
We had the nacho that our friend Brandon Hill from Twitter, Gutshot, had talked about and taken pictures of a nacho party. And I was like, I want to do a nacho party. Yeah. So we made an obscene amount of food and then pigged out on it.
Yeah.
It was very, very popular. We're going to do that again.
Absolutely.
And then they had to leave on Sunday, and then we did the family party. You know what? We have this order backwards because it was the weekend before the inauguration, mm-hmm. because everybody had that Monday off because it was President's Day.
Oh.
So we had the family birthday party on Monday night. Mm-hmm. We had all, you know, my side of the family is local, so we had everybody over and had LT's birthday party that night and watched WALL-E.
Mm-hmm.
Which everybody got to see but me, and I watched it later because I was doing party prep stuff. That was a lot of fun, though, too. He got absolutely spoiled. Absolutely spoiled, as it should be.
In about four parties?
Including his side of the family, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're actually doing a snowboarding thing, too, with his cousin as part of his birthday, because we really didn't do a friend thing. We did our friends, which are, you know, by extension, his friends. And we did a family party on our side. And then on his actual birthday, which was what I was going to talk about next, his as most things happen for us, nothing ever just falls naturally into place on the calendar.
Right.
So LT's actual birthday fell on the day of Scott Sigler's book signing in our area. And it was immediately, well, we can't go.
Yeah.
Because obviously we make a big deal about birthdays. And then we talked to him and he said, no, that'd be cool. Because he thought it would be like a usual gathering.
Right.
Which it wasn't. We went up and we went out to dinner at this Mongolian barbecue place that we liked and the boys had never been to, and opened his birthday presents there. And that was his third party, technically.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we went over to, I think it was a Borders in Fairfax or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed for a little while. I had the boys with me and you drove over from work.
Yeah.
So I had the boys with me and you actually picked up some folks at the Metro that were trying to get to the signing too.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people who work downtown, they're Metro only. So they had sent out a call on Twitter and said, you know, if we can get to this stop, can someone help us get to the book sign? I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll be passing right by there. So we coordinated that, picked them up. Everybody got there. And actually there were some other people there that lived nearby them. So instead of hopping on the train to head back, they all drove home together.
That's great. Cause that was what my worry was, that you weren't going to be able to stay late enough to get them back to the Metro and try to make sure that they were covered.
Yeah.
So that's good. That worked out really well.
Yeah.
Well, we hung out. I had the boys with me and they were bored out of their minds because, you know, I didn't want LT to listen to the book reading. I didn't know how graphic it was going to get with Scott and the conversation, you know, with all the junkies and everything there.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually went off. He picked out some anime books and stuff like that. And M stayed with him and he enjoyed the reading. So I'm actually kind of curious to see if he would want to read anything of Scott's. I don't know how graphic it is, but he's almost 18. So what the heck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I only got a few minutes to talk to anybody there before the reading started.
Yeah.
I got to talk to Jet and Paulette and MA and Dan got there. And I think those were the only people I really got to talk to before I had to take the boys and head back because it was a school night.
Mm-hmm.
And before you talk about what you did at the after party, we stayed for a little while. I got to talk to, like I said, MA and Dan, and then we left. And of course, it was his birthday. So I said, you know what? You haven't had your birthday cake yet. Where do you want to go? And we'll get you, you know, whatever you want. And he said, Cold Stone. I do a quick search up for Cold Stone. There's one open until 10 o'clock in Woodbridge, which is on the way home. So I thought, okay, we'll just go there because it's almost 9 o'clock. And so we go to the Cold Stone in Woodbridge, and they're closed. They close at 9. They have summer hours.
Aww.
Because I had checked the website. It said 10. And I even called, and their recording said 10.
Oh, wow.
But they had closed at 9, and I wasn't happy with the little girl that was at the door and her laughing at the fact that I didn't just magically know. And I said, it's my son's birthday. We came all this way here to get an ice cream cone. And she laughed. And I was like, oh, that's great customer service. Yeah. I forgot. I still need to call about that, too. Oh, it's a little late. But I'm like, you know, LT's in the car and he could see her laughing and me fuming. It's just, it wasn't cool after, you know, driving that long. So we went around the corner to TGI Friday and ordered a couple desserts, and it was, we had a really nice, after the hectic kind of pace of the evening, it was really nice for the three of us to just sit there and chill out and pig out on desserts, and it was really cool. We came home and went to bed. He's just really excited for all the whirlwind activity. He didn't see it as anything other than fun, which I was surprised because we spent like almost 4 hours in the car.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, yeah, to try and get to the book signing to make sure you could get there and have dinner with us, too.
Yeah.
Because we drove all the way up to your work, which is 2 hours away, so that we could have dinner together before the signing.
Right.
Even though we were there for less than an hour. It was worth it, so it was cool. And then after...
Well, and you've been craving the Mongolian barbecue for
I had
a long
been,
time.
And you know what? It wasn't as good as I remember.
Oh, really?
Really.
Huh.
I was kind of disappointed.
Wow.
I know. This Mongolian barbecue by this place where Chooch works, where I used to work, we used to go there like once a week. It's one of those, you get your bowl, you fill it up with what you want. They do it for you on the big flat grill. And it just wasn't, no. In hindsight, I wish we had eaten at the American Cafe.
I guess your mix is off.
I think that
your taste has changed because it was exactly the same for me.
You know what it is? And I thought that too. I said, this tastes exactly like it did. But I make my own quickie stir fry almost every day for the South Beach diet that I'm on.
Yeah.
And it's better than what I had there. So I think I was disappointed that what I make tastes better to me than what I got there.
Yeah.
So anyways, after that, you went to you stayed for the rest of the
yeah, the
reading and the signing.
The reading and the Q&A and the signing and all that. Well, you know, hung out, took a bunch of pictures, and it was a lot of fun. And
got our pile of books signed.
Yeah.
Because we had 4 for Scott to sign of ours.
Right.
And we had, was it 2 or 3 that our friend Will sent?
I think 3.
Plus our 6 copies of Playing for Keeps for Murr to sign. So he walked in with literally 2 full bags of books to get signed by 2 authors.
Yeah. When the Q&A finished and Scott jumped over to start signing, and there was this huge line around the bookstore of people wanting to get stuff signed. And I felt really guilty because I've got this big bundle. Most people have a book.
Yeah.
Or maybe 2 books.
Right.
And there was this Post-it Nazi that was next to him, and she was having everybody give them her copy. They had everybody do like a little index card or a post-it of what they wanted, how they wanted it signed, how they wanted it personalized.
Mm-hmm.
And she would take them and open it up to the perfect title page, I guess, that Scott prefers to sign and post, you know, put it there and get them stacked and get them ready so he could just whip through them. And he is fast.
Yeah.
He has got this down, man.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody write that fast. So it's this whole assembly line thing. And I thought that, you know, when I had an armful of 7 books or whatever, that she was going to look at me funny. At first, I was thinking of just taking them all to the bar afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I don't know. I kept wishy-washing back and forth. And I just waited until the line started to die down. So instead, I went around and just started talking to people. I hung out with Christiane Ellis for a little while.
Oh,
her
so
and Murr had driven over.
Uh-huh.
So it was really cool to see them. And I had the bag of stuff for Murr to sign, but a couple other people came up to have her sign stuff. And there was another guy that was talking to her for a while. and I didn't want to interrupt, and I just kind of waited, and finally he left, and then I came up, and I go, hey, and she's, oh, hey, Chooch, and she gave me a big hug, and she remembered us from Balticon and all that. Mm-hmm. And, well, and actually, we had done the interview for the podcast not too long ago. I got a few things signed. She was, you know, really flattered that this huge stack of books.
Yeah, we were serious.
Like, hope you don't mind. I got a few. This is awesome.
Yeah, that was our Christmas gift fail because we bought 6 copies when Playing for Keeps launched in August, but we never had an opportunity to get them signed, and we didn't want to give them to the people that we bought them for until they were signed.
Right.
So this year, Christmas, birthdays, unload them.
Yeah. And so we chit-chatted for a little bit, and while she was signing, and I did go and talk to Demi and Dan for a little bit, and talk to Scott Breakall for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then the line started dwindling down. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go for it. And went to the end of the line. And at the end of the line, Samara and Laura were at the end of the line also.
Oh, cool.
So I was talking to them for a little bit. And Christiana came up to get her copy signed. Actually, it was interesting in waiting in line because you're winding around these bookshelves and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was there for a conception of a Christiana Shallow Thought.
Christiana Ellis, right?
Yes.
Who has done Nina Kimberly, The Merciless, mm-hmm. Space Casey, and her current beloved series is Shallow Thoughts. Yeah.
Which is her daily podcast of truly just Shallow Thoughts.
Yeah.
Musings on everyday, anything, whatever. And so we happened, there was this little table set up with a bunch of different puzzles. Mm-hmm. And there's puzzles for different music artists and like their albums. Like one of the puzzles. Yeah, Jigsaw. And one of the puzzles was the Beatles' White Album. And she was like, how acidine is that? And she's like, no way. And she's like, you gotta take a picture of me. So she hands me her camera phone so I can take a picture of her holding it. And she's like, oh yeah, this is a Shallow Thought.
And you were there.
And I was like, well, you know, they make those intentionally difficult puzzles. Yeah. There's one I saw where it's round, so there's no square edges to go by. And it has the print, the exact same print on either side.
Shoot me.
And they're repeating patterns.
I love like puzzles, goldfish, but that's just like
at a 45 degree angle.
Oh, no, no, so no.
Just to make it especially difficult. Goldfish. She's like, yeah, but look at this. This isn't designed to be a difficult puzzle. This is just, you know, an artsy thing or whatever. Yeah, you got a point.
June 30th, 1908. In the remote Tunguska region of Siberia, the most violent cosmic collision in recorded history flattened ancient forests over an area half the size of Rhode Island. Yet after 100 years of international scientific research, the cause of this impact remains a mystery. Flash forward to today, a rookie secret agent, a maverick astrophysicist, and an uncannily perceptive management consultant are thrown into a world of international intrigue and murder. At its heart is a conspiracy with implications so devastating, one slip-up and the entire planet is doomed. Yet if the plot succeeds, it will change the course of history. This is Singularity, the debut book by Bill DeSmet, now playing at PodioBooks.com. Hugo and Nebula Award-winning author David Brin says, DeSmet veers an action-packed thriller into perilous realms of black hole physics. The combination of adrenaline and intellect sizzles. Author T. Morris of the Podio book, Moravi, The Chronicles of Rafe and Ascana, and the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy podcast, says of Singularity, dude, holy shit. If you don't already know about Singularity, now is the time to subscribe. Singularity is a free serial audio book now running at PodioBooks.com. Get drawn in by the irresistible force that is Singularity. visit www.singularitythebook.com for more information. Listen to Singularity and join in the thousands of listeners who have already been sucked in.
That was pretty funny. So I got up to fearing the post-it Nazi because she was just so efficient and she was keeping people in line. Oh, and we signed the thing for whichever signing was had the most attendees because he was doing a book tour over several cities.
Right.
Whatever city ended up having the most people, he was he's going to kill them all in the short story.
How's he going to wipe out our family? I wonder.
So, so I signed us up on that. And then for the post-it Nazi... And I was like, yeah, I got a few. I was, oh, no problem. Just, you know, give me the list. And I started. And she very quickly zipped them through. Didn't have any problem with it at all. And Scott had his head down the whole time. Just tang, tang, tang. You know? Like I said, he was whipping through them. And he saw the first one that said, Chooch. He stopped me. Looked up. Chooch, hey! Aww. They recognized me from Twitter and everything.
Yeah.
Are you going, you know, going to the... The bar after? I go, oh, yeah, totally. We'll be there. And zoom, 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 zoom.
Let's go drink.
He zips through his signatures at 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the line, they started making announcements that the bookstore was closing. Mm-hmm. Everybody make your final purchases, please. Mm-hmm. And so he had finished the signings, and the people were milling about talking and... They finally had to do a sweep and kick everybody out. So we closed down the borders.
Party animals.
And then we got to the DFH and we're hanging out there.
Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. DFH is Dogfish Head Brewery.
Right. It's Ale House. So it's a chain of restaurants that supports the brewery. They serve exclusively their beer.
Right.
Pretty sure, you know. I've never actually looked for other beers, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Why you would want anything else when you're at a DFH.
I don't know.
So we took over the whole bar area. A significant number of people. And so I hung out for a long time with Dan and M.A. Talking with them. So I'd missed talking with them.
Yeah, Dan and M.A. who have the Fanboy Hell podcast. And also M.A. has been doing Better Late Than Never podcast for like... A year, 2 years now?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Quite a while.
Yeah. Buddies of ours that we just adore.
Yeah. And actually, Earl Newton from Stranger Things had come up. From Florida.
Yeah.
And was hanging out. So I hung out and talked with him for a long time.
Cool.
He is so funny.
Oh, I didn't get to hardly talk to him at all at Balticon.
He is so funny.
Yeah.
Just... The offhand remarks and observations during a conversation is just keeps you rolling. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. I didn't really talk to Scott Sigler too much. Of course, you know, he was making lots of rounds.
Right.
You know, chatting with everybody. So we took a picture together and chatted a little bit, but not very much. Mm-hmm. And I'd actually talked to Greg Wright for a long time.
Oh, I love him.
He was the chair of Balticon last year, and he's on the board, but they have like a rule that the vice chair, I think, becomes the chair the next year, and they do elections for the one after that or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do it, but anyway, so they never have the same person chairing them, you know, in a row.
Right, which is fine with me, because he said that this year he'll actually get to hang out and stuff like that, because we only saw him, he was running nonstop last year, and so it'll be cool to actually be able to hang with him.
Yeah, he was always so just a flash and a blur of activity.
I know. So
we never got to talk to him.
Well, we did have, you won't remember this, but the night that you got really happy.
Yes.
So happy that even though we were staying in the hotel, I stopped drinking to make sure I could steer us to the room because you were just gone. You were mixing the really strong Sailor Jerry rum and coke. Yeah. So at one point I looked at you and I was like, I better stop. We talked to him for a good amount of time that night. You're nodding. Do you remember that?
I do a bit.
Yeah. it was a nice long chat.
I remember that was the only significant amount of time we had with him.
It really was, but I didn't know if you really had a memory of that at all, because you were so cute, baby, because you never get like scary drunk, mean drunk, or overly inebriated. Mm-hmm. You were just so happy. It was so cute. You just had this big grin. That might have been the jet. You're just cute.
Oh, absolutely.
So yes. Funny. But yeah, he's awesome. I'm glad we'll get to hang out more with him this year.
Yeah. That was a good time hanging out with him at the DFH to talk, since we hadn't had a chance to talk too much.
Yeah.
So, and we ended up closing down DFH. They kicked us out.
Big shock.
And it wasn't until the very end of the night, just before they were closing down, so it was maybe 20 minutes before they shut down, I heard somebody say something about Buffy Between the Lines, and I remembered on the little mailing list that there were going to be a couple cast members.
Oh, okay.
They were going to be at the Sigler signing.
That's right.
And then they were going to wear name tags or something, and
we just weren't organized.
Totally forgotten about it.
Right. Well, it was LT's birthday. We were a bit distracted just trying to orchestrate everything.
Yeah. And so I heard that, and I walked over and saw that they had a little lanyard thing that said BBTL something
or other
that one of them had made. And,
yeah.
And so apparently they had done a big Buffy cast list, cast picture with Scott.
Uh-huh.
That,
I did see that on someone's Flickr stream.
Yeah, apparently there was like 12 people. But I did meet a couple of them afterwards. Yeah. Like, where have you been? We tried to get everybody together. Like, I'm just hanging out, talking with friends.
And it really was a total chaos. We rolled from LT's birthday weekend celebration, the inauguration, mm-hmm. one day at work, and then the book signing.
Yeah.
Which was LT's birthday, so... You know, you get forgiven for that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So,
but so we did talk a little bit afterward. They kicked us out, and so I went with, mispronounce her name, Nutchess.
That's the Flickr stream that I saw. Lots of
N's and T's and C's. Mm-hmm. And she's from, like, New York or somewhere. She had driven out for Sigler's thing. And so I went out to her car with her because she had a sketchbook. She's an artist, and she had drawn this little... one page banner thing for BBTL Scott signing. And she had everybody who was a cast member there sign it. So I signed that.
Oh, cool.
Then we talked like 5 minutes, then headed out. So
I'm glad you had fun.
That was a nice little surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got turned down at Coldstone. Yes.
Yeah.
No, bummer. It worked out fine. No, it was fun. It was a good evening and he had a blast, and that's what matters. Mm-hmm. And he got to stay up late.
Mm-hmm.
Although, for some reason, my ex called the home phone. And the thing is, if you want to talk to the kids, there's no answer to the home phone, call my cell phone. I've had the same cell phone number for 6 years, and he didn't call the cell phone. He left a voicemail, and we did discuss, should we call, should we not call? And I said, let's go ahead and call. We called, it rang and rang and rang, never went to voicemail. So we thought, okay, well, they've gone to bed. It's rung 20 times. We may as well hang up. And then the next day, I called him back on the cell phone, and I said, he would have loved to have talked to you. You could have just called the cell phone. I didn't want to bug you guys if you were out. And so he called again that night, and we were out again. And it's just like, it's that
you
usual...
You guys have had that conversation a couple times, though.
I know. And I understand him not trying to, not wanting to, cut in on our time. Because if we're out, then obviously we're celebrating. But if it gets late and you haven't, I call his cell phone. If something is up and I really need to talk to them, like it's their birthday or something, I would not hesitate. So he went those 2 days without talking to him. And I don't think he heard from the rest of that side of the family either. And I don't know what happened, if there was something going on or something like that. Hmm. He talked to his other grandparents the next day. And we were so busy, he didn't even notice. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were really busy because, he could have gotten his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, we're local, but we're not like... in tight with the family kind of thing. So, it was just one of those things. And then he went out that next weekend and celebrated his birthday with his dad's side of the family. So his dad was still, at his house out of state, but he spent the weekend with his grandparents and his aunts and uncles and and cousins on that side and everything like that. So they did, you know, get to see him and stuff. So mm-hmm. I just felt bad. It's like, well, call the cell. Yeah. it's frustrating for me because then I feel guilty.
Right.
Even though I have no control over it, you know, and then I think, oh, I should have thought and called for him. And I mean, it was too hectic a night. So that's the frustrating blended family part of things. Yeah. Was trying to get everybody to talk to him when they want to, you know, even though I thought we had it all worked out with cell phones and stuff. So, yeah, that sucks. And that weekend while he was visiting his dad's family, it just so happened to work out to be City of Heroes Double XP weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And we had talked about meeting up with our friends Will and Leslie in game and playing for a while. Mm-hmm. And I had tried to reach Kaz, but he's started at a new school and, yeah, and under the gun with a lot of stuff. We ended up playing Friday night, and we met up with these people that were just like crazy XP speed demons. And then we played with Will and Leslie Saturday and Sunday for mm-hmm. quite a while. We got a bunch of levels. It was just our typical, we don't mean to, but it ends up being a totally crusty gamer weekend. Yeah. And I was actually disgusted, I think, on Sunday at one point, because I made a joke, and you're like, I'm not crusty. And I was like, you showered. Oh, I hate when I'm crustier than you are. Now I have to go shower. That's not right. The boys should be crustier. So, yeah, it was fun, though. And we just literally, I think, we did some other stuff. We did get out and run some errands and do some stuff. And I know we went out and we did something that weekend other than just gaming. I don't remember what it was. It was a game. played. Got a bunch of levels.
We may have gone to see a movie.
Might have. Sounds like something we could have done. I don't know. So that was a hectic, that was all like in a week.
Yeah.
Friday. Well, no, Friday to Sunday is like 10 days worth of like crazy. And even then, I'm sure we've left some stuff out. There's just, that's the hard part about doing these with a little bit of time between when we do it and when we record it. Mm-hmm. I tend to forget the little details that drive me crazy later. It was fun, though. I regret not having more time to sit and chat with MA and Dan. And I got to see Mer and John Smar and a bunch of Christiana, a bunch of other people that I just think are, you know, the cat's meow. But I didn't get to talk to anybody because it was just hanging out in the back and then bolting for home that night of the book signing.
Yeah, so. And everybody kept asking about you. I swore Viv was here. I'm like, they had to leave like halfway through the signing.
Yeah. It's cool, though. I got to see everybody, and I got to be there for a little while and up the count for the DC book signing.
Which DC did win.
So We All Will Die.
Yes. There were more people there than any other signing.
Represent. So yeah, I guess that's probably it for this episode, though, huh? We covered a lot of stuff. I apologize to anybody whose name I didn't list, but yeah,
it's blur. It's always a blur.
It is. And we have, I actually was going through email and comments and stuff, and we have a little bit of a backlog, so we are going to be doing feedback on an upcoming episode. I think maybe we ought to just do one feedback episode. And so if you would like to comment, what were you going to say, babe?
I'm not sure if you ended up listening because I popped it in after you did your initial editing, but I did play Nobilis's voicemail response. I tacked it on to the end of the last episode.
Did you?
He responded to our censoring.
Yeah, apologies to anybody that irritated.
There were a few comments in Twitter.
Chooch had a really good time with that. I was like, babe, don't you think that's like really extra?
Believe it or not, there were no extra bleepages. We got accused of just hitting bleeps for no apparent, you know, just to be funny.
Yeah.
No, we were talking about some classified stuff there.
Yeah.
There was no superfluous bleeping.
Nope. But if you would like to submit some feedback for us before we do it, and it'll probably be in 2 weeks or so that we record it, then you can give us a call at our voicemail line at 413-669-4720.
Or send an email to endoftheblender@gmail.com, and you can leave a comment on the website at intotheblender.com.
And we would love to have more feedback and make a super, super long, extra long feedback episode, because right now it will be a short episode. But we haven't done comments or anything since September.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, we'd Slackers. Love to hear from you. Yes. Feedback fail. But thank you for listening, and we'll talk to y'all again in 2 weeks.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.
Rachel.
Sally.